This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It is the final hour of power here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles Liddell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock, the Infinity Sports Network. Coming your way following myself, All-Star Weekend in full swing. We just had the celebrity All-Star Game wrap up. Some random tattooed light-skinned man was the MVP. He probably sings some cool song or does some cool dance or something. I have no clue who that was. Now the real party starts, though. Our Washington Wizards going to get some NBA All-Star Weekend love. You can check that out over on TNT. Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Saar, Bob Carrington participating in the Rising Stars Challenge. So that's always cool. One thing that I didn't know, and told me maybe if you got some time over the weekend, you could check this out. It's actually pretty hilarious. Bilal Coulibaly, a pretty quiet, reserved guy. He loves to crack jokes, though. Anytime I'm in the Wizards locker room, him, Jordan Poole, Saar are always in that corner just clowning. And I didn't realize this. Bilal's got a vlog, Toby, online on YouTube. He's been vlogging, and they're like 30-minute episodes, dude. So you can imagine what type of content you're getting from Bilal. He chronicled his summer plan for the French national team, and then the latest vlog he dropped was highlighting the Wizards' trip to Mexico City when they played the Miami Heat. He's a funny guy, is what I would say.
He's an entertaining guy.
He's often hilarious.
I had no idea about this, otherwise I would have been watching
it. Yeah, bro, he's got a vlog, and it's good content, man. He plays a lot of 2K.
Him, Jordan Poole, Bub Carrington, those guys got some
team.
Good character.
We do.
They're fun to watch.
It is a personality-driven team, is how I would describe the young Wizards. There's actually, the reason I brought up the vlog, because I was looking at Wizards' Instagram today, Bub Carrington and Bilal are vlogging during their time right now out in the Bay Area as they get geared up for their big night here tonight. So be on the lookout on Wizards Twitter, all social media platforms that you follow the Wizards on for that content because it's good stuff. I can't wait for the second half of the season. I'm excited to see Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton get inserted into the lineup. One thing I would say, bring them off the bench. The starting lineup we saw against Indiana going into the All-Star break, of Bub and Jordan Poole in the backcourt with Bilal at small forward and then Keyshawn at the four and Saar at the five. That will be my starting five the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, with all due respect, I think Marcus Smart's hamstring might be bothering him the rest of the year. Chris Middleton's ankle might be bothering him.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, like, I think they might be feeling a little under the weather, and maybe you need to give Vucevic more minutes, and maybe you just need to give Bub Carrington those minutes. I don't know. Maybe those guys, with all due respect to those guys, they're good basketball players. I know what they are. I want to see what these guys can be. You know, if you need to give Bub or Keyshawn or one of these guys a few minutes on the bench to chill and you just need someone out there, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But with all due respect, I don't need to see those dudes.
I don't. And what annoys me is, I don't want to say it annoys me because I actually asked for this. Will Dawkins and company, if you're going to build a young team and play young guys as many minutes as the Wizards are, You got to have quality veterans that also get minutes. Anthony Gill is the consummate professional and who you would want guys to model themselves after. The only problem is Gill don't get no minutes. It's hard for Anthony Gill to have influence and really, you know, show guys the ropes when he doesn't get any minutes. It's hard, right? And I think that's why adding Smart and Middleton is so huge. Defensive chops for Marcus Smart being a former defensive player of the year. Bub is already competing his ass off on that end of the floor. The way he gets over, fights over ball screens, I love the effort from him. And then from Chris Middleton, he's the guy that can show you, I'm going to show you how to get it out the mud. Chris Middleton started in the G League. I don't know if many people realize that. Like, his growth and development over the past several years, the past decade really in Milwaukee, has been a slow grind, man. So,
well, and I like too when you have both those guys, they have different personalities.
Right.
Marcus Smart's the bulldog guy, so you can learn from that and how you're going to go out there and approach it, and you're going to be the aggressor and you're going to frustrate people defensively, and there's a tenacity that comes with Marcus Smart. With Chris Middleton, that dude is like Jaden Daniels. That dude's never phased by anything.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what you do. That dude's not going to crack a smile. That dude's not going to get frustrated. So I think the young guys can learn from both of those guys and just the demeanor that they carry.
Do you have a soft spot in your heart for Chris Middleton?
I like Chris Middleton.
Because of the Bucks run?
Absolutely.
They don't have that title without Chris Middleton.
No, he was huge. I mean, people forget Giannis got hurt during that run, and he kind of had to carry him when Giannis was out so that they could get to the next series so Giannis could come back. So, yeah, I mean, Chris Middleton's a hero in Milwaukee forever.
Still upset about the amount of fouls that got called in Game 7 for Giannis. I mean, everything was a whistle. Again, that series against Phoenix back in the,
Well, they didn't get to a Game 7 against
Game 6.
Game 6?
Yeah. He got, I think he was like 21 of 23 from the free throw line in Game 6. It was crazy.
I mean,
everything was a foul.
That's the coolest thing I'm probably going to witness in my lifetime, or one of them.
Yeah.
A dude dropping 50 in a closeout game in the NBA Finals.
Come in here. Don't worry, Toby. It'll happen before we hit 35.
I hope. I hope it sure hadn't happened before I hit 26.
I'm about to say so.
27. Like, it sure hadn't happened soon or recently.
We will see what happens with that. I mentioned there was a insider piece from ESPN. Bill Barnwell did his own piece on where he thinks the best landing spot is for Browns edge rusher Myles Garrett. And I actually love the way that Bill Barnwell did this. He kind of laid it out in tiers, so to speak. There was, first of all, he goes out and lists the potential compensation for Myles Garrett. And then he goes on and lists basically tiers of teams, teams that won't be trading for Garrett. There was 11 of those teams, the three AFC North opponents, three teams with no need for edge rusher in Denver, Houston, and the LA Rams, and then teams that aren't competitive, Carolina, Las Vegas, New England, New Orleans, Tennessee, teams that could be involved as a third party in the Myles Garrett trade, Jacksonville, Minnesota, New York, and then the New York Jets and Giants, both of the New York teams. Then he goes on and lists unlikely but plausible teams that should have a Garrett conversation: Arizona, Atlanta, Dallas, Green Bay, Kansas City, Miami, San Francisco, Seattle, and then Tampa. And then the maybe is four teams that would Garrett will put over the hump. That's Buffalo, Detroit, the LA Chargers, the Philadelphia Eagles, and then, yes, they should trade for Myles Garrett. Three teams, the sweet spot. He lists Chicago, he lists Indianapolis, and then he saved his best candidate for last, he said. The most obvious and consequential landing spot for Myles Garrett is Washington. So I was pretty interested in this, man. Bill Barnwell, a respected insider for ESPN, is pretty up to speed on cap and what GMs across the NFL are thinking about. He lists Washington as the best landing spot for Myles Garrett. The question now becomes, okay, Myles Garrett is available, but my big thing is, how much does it cost to get Myles Garrett? ESPN Cleveland reporter got the chance to catch up with our ESPN insider, John Keim, and had this to say about how much it would cost, the reported asking price for Browns edge rusher Myles Garrett.
Yes, for somebody like that, he's a top five player regardless of position. I think I would expect, you know, at least two first round picks to just starting point for discussions.
What positions would they maybe say, okay, we'll take two firsts and we'll accept a player at this spot?
Yeah, I mean, I look at just any of the other kind of premium positions on the field for the Browns. I would say maybe an offensive tackle. The left tackle spot is a little unsettled. You know, DeJuan Jones has played pretty well when he's been healthy, but he's had two straight years with season-ending injuries. If you could throw in maybe another wide receiver, you know, maybe a number two wide receiver, something like that, that, you know, could be plug and play as a starter, maybe a cornerback, something like that, where, you know, where if you're the Browns, you're thinking, yeah, we're giving up Myles Garrett, but we're also getting a pretty solid starter at a premium position in addition to these picks. I think maybe that could sway it.
That is ESPN Browns reporter on a potential asking price for Myles Garrett. He said the starting point is two ones and then a starter, a young starter on the other side of the football. He listed impact positions like tackle. Well, Washington doesn't have a tackle to give away. He mentioned wide receiver. Washington doesn't have a wide receiver to give away. And then he mentioned the cornerback spot, and that's where my ears perked up a little bit. Now, I would have to think two ones in Jonathan Allen, maybe. Does that get Cleveland interested? But with Jonathan Allen, from an age perspective, he's going to be on the wrong side of 30 before you know it. So that doesn't necessarily fit the bill of the young starter that they were talking about at a premium position. Now, corner is interesting to me. Would you give up the 29th pick, next year's first-round pick, and Mikey Sainer still for Myles Garrett? Would that move the needle for you? It interests me. Now, I would say if I was Washington, obviously from a negotiating standpoint, I'd say, hey, don't you want Lattimore instead? No more guaranteed money on the contract. He would pair nicely with Denzel Ward on the perimeter. So that would be probably what Washington would start with. But if I'm Cleveland, this is Myles bleeping Garrett we're talking about. I need riches to acquire his services. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Which young commander would you part ways with in order to acquire Myles Garrett? We'll take your calls on that. And then we'll do a little NFL QB matchmaker because it is Valentine's Day. The veterans that are expected to be available and their number one landing spot. We'll give you that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Listing Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Lynell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock right now, taking your calls on which young commander would you part ways with to acquire Browns edge rusher Miles Garrett. ESPN Cleveland reporter says it starts with two first-rounders and a young starter in terms of the asking price for Miles Garrett. Would you give up 29 next year's first, and let's say Mike Samra still for Miles Garrett? 1-800-636-1067. Will is in Fairfax. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Hey, I don't know if I can accept the premise of this question, because I think the Cleveland reporter from ESPN is much like everybody else from that Browns organization. They're not getting two first rounds for Miles Garrett. As talented as he is, at 29 years old and with the money owed to him, there's a limited amount of number of teams. And it's not like someone's coming to them and saying, hey, is Miles Garrett available? Miles Garrett's saying, I don't want to be here. So their whole position of power is just fictitious.
They don't have a lot of leverage. So I agree.
Yeah, I think a first and a third gets it done. I think if you want to dump some salary or they want to replace a player, Jonathan Allen makes sense. Maybe a lot of more makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But to pretend like you're going to get two first rounds, the days of Big Daddy Dan Wilkerson garnishing two first-round picks, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy that's hitting that point in his career where he's going to be going down the slope. I mean, there's not a long list of guys that played into their 30s that were double-digit sack guys. So. I don't think you need two first rounds to go get him.
It's going to be interesting, man. I appreciate the call. Something to reference is the Khalil Mack trade back in, what was that, 2017 or 2018, when he got traded from Vegas to Chicago. That got the Raiders a return of a first, a second, and a sixth, I believe. And that was – Mack was like a year younger, I believe, than Garrett is. So it'll be interesting to see. Right now, though, in honor of Valentine's Day, want to play a little bit of NFL QB matchmaker. Bring in our producer, Toby Altizer. Toby, want to run through some veteran quarterbacks that are available, and me and you will try to play matchmaker here.
All right, we'll start with the Enigma himself, Mr. Enigma from Netflix, Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Aaron. For me, I look at a team like Pittsburgh as a potential fit. Ready-made defense, decent weapon on the perimeter in George Pickens, and a no-nonsense coach in Mike Tomlin that ain't going to put up with his BS. I also like his fit in Arthur Smith's offense. I would say Pittsburgh for Aaron Rodgers. What say you for Aaron?
Yeah, I like that. I think that fit is really, really good. I think it makes sense for both sides, honestly.
Yeah.
Moving on, former Pittsburgh Steeler, or maybe maybe another Pittsburgh Steeler if he goes back. Russell Wilson.
That's interesting to me. I think he stays within the division. Kevin Stefanski in his offense, you remember when he was in Minnesota, he had success with our guy Case Keenum. Case, a kind of mobile quarterback that can run the bootleg stuff. I think it's a perfect fit for Russell Wilson. He gets reunited with his pal Jerry Jeudy, who he played a season with in Denver. So I like Russell Wilson of the Browns.
Yeah, I'm not sure on this one. I'd have to give it a little more thought, but I do think that would make some sense. Yeah. I do think. How about the other Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, Justin Fields?
This one is a slam dunk to me. As soon as I saw Chip Kelly took the job as the OC in Vegas, I said, oh, put Justin Fields there. That makes a whole lot of sense. Young quarterback that can give them a potential to win. The only reason I would see Vegas not going Justin Fields is I think they may want to establish veteran because Pete Carroll doesn't really have time to develop a young quarterback.
I actually think it'd be interesting. I know we just talked about Rodgers going back to Pittsburgh, but maybe Fields goes back to Pittsburgh and you just say, we're going to build around this guy because they know how dangerous a running quarterback is in the division. They say, you know what? We're going to return the favor to you, Baltimore. So maybe.
100%. It'd be interesting.
Sam Darnold. Mr. Choking in Week 18 and in the playoffs. Sam Darnold.
This one is interesting to me because I don't know how many suitors he's going to have. The price tag for Sam Darnold, I think, ultimately dictates where he goes. Word on the street is they're not happy with Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. Toby, am I exaggerating? It feels like the Colts are a quarterback away from being the best team in the AFC South. I know the defense of Houston is a monster. That offense, though, fell off of a cliff this year. You put a good quarterback in Shane Steichen's system. We saw what Flacco did. Maybe Sam Darnold has success.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. It seems like they've been a quarterback away for really since Andrew Luck. Really, it just feels like that's kind of been the way that it's gone for them. So I would it makes some sense. How about Mr. You Like That? Kirk Cousins.
Oh, Kirk Cousins. I like him in New York. One, if he's healthy, I think he's a good quarterback. I just think last year was obvious he wasn't healthy. You put him in New York with the Jets with Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams, maybe. They got some weapons there. I expect them to draft a tight end early, maybe Tyler Warren out of Penn State. I like the fit there. You give Kirk Cousins a running game, which you have with Breece Hall and Braylon Allen, and I think he's pretty good, man.
Yeah, I might lean him more with Cleveland, which is I've seen kind of linked there as well. But I think either way, I think that would make some sense there as well. Final one, how about the backup for J.D. 5 this past season? Came in and played well when he had opportunities. Marcus Mariota.
I think Marcus Mariota is going to get a job this year. And I'll be real with you. He would be the front runner. I think he's going to Vegas. I think he reunites with Chip Kelly. And they have a ton of success there. I don't want to say a ton of success. I kind of guessed it. They'll try it. If they can get a receiver there, the cupboard's not bare, and Pete Carroll's the type of coach that gets the best out of guys. I can see that situation working well if they can get a veteran in. Don't sleep on them trying to go get Shador either. Tom Brady has got hella influence out there right now, and he loves himself some Shador Sanders.
Mariota and Chip Kelly reuniting after he didn't draft him when he was in Philadelphia would be a little bit wild. But, I mean, I think you saw that Mariota still got some left in the tank. I don't think it'd be foolish to kick the tires there. I think that would make some sense there.
Yeah, I'm starting to, and Commanders fans, you're not going to want to hear this. I'm starting to feel like it's more and more likely that he leaves. Because you got to think the ego is telling you that you could be a starter. Last time he tried to get in that starter position, we saw how it ended on Netflix in Atlanta. So it got me grilling his ass. But he proved himself to be very valuable. They can't stop singing his praises in Ashburn. He was huge to the growth and development of Jaden Daniels and then just fostering that relationship in the quarterback room. Real quick, if Marcus Mariota leaves, who's the backup?
It's a great question.
Tyler Huntley? You want to go get Snoop Huntley?
I don't hate something like that, but I'm also just...
Justin Fields?
What do you want, Marcus? You can come on back.
Yeah, I would love to have him back. Would love to have him back. Speaking of the Commanders offseason, full of tough decisions, including whether or not to bring back Marcus Mariota, we'll discuss everything surrounding the Commanders offseason next with former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson right here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Right now, as promised, we will get an in-depth look at the Washington Commanders' upcoming offseason, one that I continue to dub the most important offseason of this rebuild, striking while the iron is hot, taking advantage of the resources that you have.
No better person to join me to talk about this all-important Commanders offseason than former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. He is also the co-host of the Take Command podcast with our pal Craig Hoffman. You can download that wherever you get your podcast. Logan, appreciate you giving us some time, big fella.
Yeah, well, no, as always, appreciate you having me on.
Yes, indeed, man. So I am in a weird spot. You know, I always try to separate fan and then work when I do this stuff. Obviously, lifelong fan of this team. They control my day-to-day emotions when they probably shouldn't. But I'm, you know, obviously excited about what we have to look forward to. There's a lot of rumors that will circulate throughout this offseason, especially when you consider where Washington is, fresh off of an NFC championship berth, third most cap space in the National Football League as you get ready to enter free agency. But I want to start, Logan, with this offseason, looking at some of the homegrown guys. There's about 20-something free agents that Washington is going to have to make decisions on. When you look at some of the key impact players, your Jeremy Chins, your Zach Ertz, your Bobby Wagner, who do you think is the priority guy that Washington should be really itching to bring back?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, like, I'm going to defer to Adam Peters and the decision he makes, but just based on what I've seen this season, I'm going to say probably Jeremy Chin strikes me as a guy because of his age, because of his role in the defense, because of how they utilized him, a guy that really, I think, does a lot for you, you know, and it's a piece you can kind of build around. Like, Zach had a tremendous year, but again, he's 34 years old, and, you know, like, I think he should be back and deserves to be back, but I think you have to plan around him, you know, like long-term, what's this going to look like? Same thing with Bobby. I know McGee's still on the roster and they're excited about his development, but I think you need to start, if you do bring those guys, start having contingency plans for those older players. While with Jeremy Chin, I do think he can be, you know, a guy that's here for 3 years, a guy that's here for the length of Jaden's rookie contract. And I think that that's valuable. And so the youth coupled with the play, I think I'd probably prioritize trying to get him back as a Commander here.
Yeah, Jeremy Chin is interesting, Logan, because I think he's right on the fringe. I wouldn't call him a top five safety, but I also think he is one of the better guys in this league at his position. And then when you factor in the youth and the production that he had for this defense, I think it becomes a no-brainer. I wouldn't get into a bidding war for Jeremy Chin. We know the safety market's kind of been saturated in free agency over the past couple of years, but you kind of brought up an interesting point, something that me and you have actually texted about. I have... You know, I appreciate everything that Bobby Wagner has brought to this defense from a, you know, leadership standpoint. I think Jaden told a really cool story out at Radio Row about how after a game they're in the cold tub at 2 o'clock in the morning at the facility after getting back from a road game. So it kind of shows you, you know, his leadership ability. But he played 98% of the snaps last year, Logan. When you watch him on film in the run game in particular, what do you see and how much did he, you know, aid Washington's struggles, I guess, in the run game?
Yeah, so I think that's a really tough question to answer. And I think Bobby, you know, I think he did a lot of really good things this year. I think the leadership element's huge. I think when you watch his ability to make plays at and around the line of scrimmage, that's huge too. I think his mastery and ability to check and kind of communicate defensive perspective is also incredibly important. But there are times like where you're kind of like, is this the right fit or is he in the gap he's supposed to be in now? I will say, like, defense is incredibly complicated. It's so reactive and it's so fluid, and that makes it really hard to diagnose exactly what people should be doing. I'm, you know, talking with a couple of former defensive coaches that I know to kind of get a better understanding of run fits, you know, ways that the Commanders could use different personnel to kind of maximize or how they're calling the defense from this outside, from these third party perspectives. So I'm learning a little bit more about run fits, and it's becoming a little bit more challenging to be critical of linebacker play, of nickel play, because I know that it is very challenging to do that. But I would say there were times where over the course of the season, I thought, oh man, is this the right fit for Bobby? Is this where he's supposed to be? But again, a lot of these two high safety structures, a lot of these quarters looks, linebackers have to play a gap and a half or a two
which
gap look.
Super tough. You know, yeah.
Which is incredibly tough. So I think that given what he's done, given the age, given, you know, kind of where he's at from a health standpoint, I think he did as good as you could have expected. But I do think, you know, you got to think long term. When you talk to people around the NFL, one of the things they bring up is they say, hey, you know, like, he's not the person he was before. And that's a reasonable expectation considering he's 34 years old. So that's kind of what I'm alluding to there. I think he's a guy that you need to find a little, you need to have a plan for him not being around long-term, find a way to get a little bit younger, find a way to get a little bit more athletic. I don't think you have to look farther than like Zach Bond, for example, and the impact that he had from a coverage standpoint when he was in Philadelphia. And so I think those are some of the things you look at with Bobby. Again, incredibly grateful to him, incredibly impressed with his leadership, incredibly impressed with his career. But, you know, older players, like, you need to think about plans moving forward. And that's kind of what I'm saying with Bobby there.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Jeremy Chinn as your priority, Logan. Bobby would be my priority because he played 98% of the snaps. And I don't know if you know this, like, who wears the green dot if it's not Bobby Wagner? Like, who else knows and has a mastery of this defense? So that's my other question mark with that. I think you bring up a good point in terms of sort of phasing him out. And it's not a negative thing in terms of phasing him out. It's just about, you know, ultimately for me, getting more speed on the field. But we'll see how they ultimately end up handling that. The defensive side of the football is interesting, Logan. Like that, if you poll most folks, you know, locally, nationally about the Achilles heel of this football team, they would talk about the Commanders' defense, the run defense in particular. Is it a quick fix, Logan, to you, or is it something where you need a couple of different ancillary pieces to help you here? Obviously, I've been screaming it since August that they didn't have a guy to me that was a three-down defensive end that could set the edge and give you the pass rush juice. I was a big fan of Javonte Jean-Baptiste before he went down. I think he's someone that they'll count on next year. But when you look at the struggles of this defense, how do you go about shoring it up?
Yeah, I think, well, when I look at the defensive struggles, I think a lot of it, to me, is just guys not always doing what they're supposed to do. And I do think there's an element of Joe Witt Jr. kind of allowing that. I think when you look at, just as an example, Dante Fowler had a tremendous year, you know, very productive from a pass rush standpoint. Found a lot of explosive plays behind the line of scrimmage in terms of tackle for loss. And sometimes he's rolling the dice a little bit. He's kind of taking a gamble. He's like leaving the gap he's supposed to be in. And those, honestly, those negative run plays are extremely valuable to defense. So I don't want to diminish that. But there are times where he's not playing exactly the right technique and he kind of puts the defense under a little bit of stress. Everybody kind of took turns over the course of the year doing that, and you get explosive plays from Sheldon Day, but you get him kind of throwing out the club on a double team in the next series, right? And that's when you watch defense around the NFL, that's something that's very, very common. But I think, honestly, as guys get more familiar, as guys get more confident in the run scheme and a little bit more disciplined, I think you're going to see a better product. And I do think it's important to note that I think this defense played really well. I think, you know, obviously there are some limitations statistically. I think you see some limitations in terms of, you know, how many yards they gave up. But I think they understood how to be opportunistic given the talent that they had. I think they did a great job in third down situations of winning those situations more often than not, battening down the hatches in the red zone, keeping points off the board, really being an offensive driven football team and understanding their role in the team dynamic, I think is very clear. So, yes, I think they could add some pieces. Yes, I think they're in year two, they're going to be better because guys have a better understanding for what Joe Witt Jr. is looking for from a run fit standpoint. But yeah, I think obviously, like, if you get a big Haas defensive end that can set edges and rush the passer, that'd be great. But
they don't grow on trees, right?
They don't go on trees. So you got to kind of make do with what you got. And I think Adam Peters is always going to be looking to get more talented. And I think, you know, specifically along the defensive line.
Logan, from a like philosophical standpoint, and I'm asking you to put your GM hat on here for a second. Looking at, and I guess this is my general rule of thumb whenever you're evaluating free agents at these positions, and then specifically this year with the talent that exists, I continue to feel like, man, if I am Washington, I am going offensive line, defensive line, heavy in the draft, and using wide receiver or using free agency rather to kind of supplement my wide receiver room. And traditionally, Logan, I would not think that way because I feel like wide receivers, we talk about edge rushers and elite defensive ends don't grow on trees. I kind of think wide receivers do. So for that reason, I'm traditionally a draft a wide receiver guy. But in this year's class, when you think about the depth that you have up front on both sides of the football, I know the D-line's getting talked about a lot, but as you continue to watch more tape, I think the offensive linemen in this class are pretty decent too. Would that be kind of the way you go if you're Washington, kind of hitting the draft heavy in the trenches and then going and getting your skill group guys out in free agency?
Yeah, I think I'd probably do a little bit of both. And what I mean by that is, like, before going to the draft, I want to make sure I have all my bases covered. I want to make sure that I could field the 90-man roster that I'm comfortable, or a 53-man roster that I'm comfortable with, quite honestly, right? So, like, right now there's a couple guys that are, you know, unsigned to the team. There's 29 free agents currently for the – or guys who are supposed to be pending free agents. I want to re-sign some of those guys to fill in some of the gaps so that when I do go into the draft, I can be more selective about, hey, here's an offensive lineman that I really like. I can draft him, develop him. He can add talent to an offensive line group that overperformed last year. And I feel really good about it, as opposed to saying, oh, man, I really need to kind of make sure I find that nickel cornerback or that outside corner. Like, I can be more specific in the draft process. And I do agree with you. I think that when you look at the defensive line groups in this draft class, very deep, I think the offensive line doesn't have quite – the peak that last year had. I mean, just watching through them, you know, I did a podcast, it's called Pick the Draft Podcast. It's on the Command Center Podcast Network, but you can hear kind of more thoughts on it there. But I do think this O-line class has some talented guys, but they're a little bit more green compared to last year's class. So if you can draft a guy that's very talented, have him sit or be a rotational person for a year, that's going to pay dividends long-term, to your point. And then with the receiver, I think it's the same thing every year. Like, this year, it's a down receiver class. Free agent receivers are going to be super expensive because those top flight guys are looking for a lot of money. So those are the kind of decisions that you need to negotiate, I think, here in the free agency. But I think the foundational element of free agency in the draft is make sure you have the roster kind of established through free agency so I can add the more talented pieces in the draft.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, man. I always love, you know, having these conversations with you. You have quickly, like, turned into – my go-to guy when it comes to the draft and scouting talent, man. To think, man, the big burly tight end that was rumbling and stumbling down the field knows some ball, man. I always love catching up with you on this stuff as we're joined by former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. He's also the co-host of the Take Command podcast with our pal Craig Hoffman. You can also check out his stuff with the Command Center on YouTube, doing good work for the team. Logan, this is just, there's so many different things I wanted to cover here with you in this conversation. I want to look at the offensive line here because after watching the Super Bowl, I mean, you've seen a lot of ball in your life. Have you ever seen a front four kick ass the way that Philadelphia's did this past Sunday?
I mean, it's historic. It's an historic performance for a reason. I mean, in Super Bowl history, there's never been a team that hasn't blitzed. With the, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's historically very relevant. And so, no, I have not seen something like that. I've seen shades of that, obviously, when, you know, those old New York Giants offensive lines, when they'd play the Patriots and give them a run for their money. Those were kind of some dominant performances. Obviously, Tampa Bay blitzed a lot more, but the last time they played Kansas City, that was a very dominant performance by the defensive front. But to get four guys that could physically get after a group the way that Philadelphia did, I thought was extremely impressive. And again, that's the goal. That's the objective in team building, is finding a way to do that defensively. Because think about what that does from a coverage standpoint. It just gives you so much more flexibility. So, yeah, I think you got to look at defensive linemen, like we just talked about. You got to look at offensive linemen. And I think when you're looking at the Commander's offensive line, like, I think they did a really solid job last year. I think, you know, the way they pass protected, the way they communicated, the way they kind of were tough and gritty. But I think look no further than Philly's offensive line or Buffalo's offensive line. Like, they're composed of some very physically gifted and talented people. And I think that's ultimately what you're looking to do this offseason with the Commander's offensive line, is just find pieces to kind of infuse that group with talent. And because, again, you have to compete with Philadelphia twice a year being in the same division.
That's the tough part. And I guess I like the way that you described the offensive line this year. I would also add the context of, you know, it sure does help when you have a bona fide star back there, a quarterback that makes you right more times than not as an offensive lineman. He, talking about Jaden Daniels, I think masked a lot of deficiencies that Washington had up front. There were some quick wins that guys had on defense where Jaden was able to elude and evade. Would not be my, you know, way to live moving forward. Wouldn't be a lifestyle I'm comfortable living. So I ask you, Logan, of the five starters that Washington rolled out this year, like, how many are you looking to replace here? And I don't want to get all Debbie Downer with it, but the first thing that I think about in a popular conversation on social media, Logan, has been kicking Brandon Coleman inside to the guard spot. I wonder how much Sam Cosmi's injury will impact their thought process addressing this offensive line going into next year, because you're probably not going to have him from the outset. Would you consider kicking Brandon Coleman inside, and would you evaluate his rookie campaign?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would consider bumping him inside. I think, obviously, Brandon Coleman, I think, was a pleasant surprise. I think when you go back and watch him, like, play for play, down for down, he does some really good things in the run game. I think as a pass protector in true one-on-one situations, there are things where you're like, man, I wish this was a little bit better. And I think he would probably agree with that to a certain extent. But there are moments where you see special flashes. So I do think he's a NFL offensive lineman. I just, every time I watch him, again, he's such a good mover, but I still see him as a guard, probably because he lacks that elite kind of bend through his hips and stuff.
A little stiff.
But again, like, I think, a little stiff, but I think, like, there have been offensive linemen that have been stiff that have been successful. I just think it depends on how much you want to develop him. And this is where I go to the free agent market, I go to the draft, and I say, I am looking to get more talented.
Yeah.
I want to get the best five offensive linemen on the field. If I'm able to draft a tackle or a guy that I think can play tackle and Brandon Coleman bumps inside, that's totally fine. If wherever I'm picking, 29 in the draft, there's a good guard there, or at the end of the second round, there's a really good guard there, I draft him and Brandon Coleman stays at tackle, that's also fine. I think that's one of the things, like, with offensive line and why it's so important to cross-train, is you want to get the best five dudes on the field. And, you mentioned the Sam Cosmi thing. I just think that adds to the importance and the relevance of just getting more talented at that position. And this is not a knock on the people that were here last year. I think those guys competed their faces off. I love to watch them every week. I love the camaraderie and fellowship that they had. But I think you're always chasing that gold standard of those elite offensive line groups, the Detroits, the Baltimores, the Bills, right? Like, we just need to get a little bit more talented, and we do that through the draft or through free agency, and having some flexibility with a guy like, even Wiley has flexibility in terms of what he can do. Getting the best five dudes on the field is going to be a huge part of my offseason goal this year, and in conjunction with getting more talented.
Rapid fire here, as we only got a few moments left with you, brother. I appreciate you giving us some time. Wide receiver is another spot that I know fans have been clamoring for Washington to address. Take me through your thought process as I kind of give you mine. I don't know if there is a necessity to go top of the market looking for a wide receiver two. I think there are a lot of wide receiver 1As out there. I'm not sure you necessarily need that. One, because of the quarterback. Two, because of who your number one is. If you were Washington, what is your mentality trying to address wideout this offseason?
Yeah, I agree with you, I think. I think when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, and he did what he did this year, I think the number one thing is to kind of help insulate some of his weaknesses. And so, to me, I think he did a great job of maximizing the receiving group. And I think those guys did an excellent job, like OZ, Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown, Jamison Crowder. Everyone kind of took turns stepping up in that role. And I think it shows you that if you get the right people in here, competitive, hardworking professionals, like, you can make it work with a guy like Jaden Daniels, and plus having Terry. I think the one thing that I'm a little bit worried about is, again, Zach Ertz had an historic season, in my opinion, and we saw what makes him so special, and we saw why he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. But I'm worried about his dip in production. He's 34 years old. Like, to me, that's more of a concern, is, like, who's going to pick up that production if Zach is less than 100% or suffers an injury, right? That was such a big piece of the offense on third down, red zone situations, having that person that can win consistently versus man-to-man coverage. And I talked to Santana Moss about this, and he was like, it could be a tight end or it could be a receiver, but I do think you need to find somebody, again, who is a go-to target in those man-to-man situations. And so that's something I'm going to keep an eye on, again, free agency and the draft, to kind of get this football team better.
Does Cooper Kupp interest you at all if the price is right?
Price is right, I'm down for good football players. I think that's the thing, man, is open your mind up to whoever you think are the best football players, find a way to get them in here. Obviously, if the price is wrong, it's really expensive. I'm not going to be interested in that, but he has shown a history and a proclivity for winning and knowing how to win and being a friendly target for the quarterback.
Blocks,
and that's
as well,
extremely valuable.
Yeah, love the way he competes,
absolutely,
in the run game, too. So it seems like a fit. Hopefully you're able to get L.A. to eat a large chunk of that salary for this year. Want to run through rapid fire a couple of names, and you can give me a quick yes and no and a short, brief description as to why.
Yeah.
Deebo Samuel.
Again, this is a price thing, a price and role thing with him, I think.
Yes.
So I'm going to say, I don't know, because I have no idea what the market is for him at the moment.
Yeah.
But obviously, like we just said, talented football player. I'm interested. Adam Peters has a pre-existing relationship with him and is going to know what type of football player that is. But I think you have to make sure that that's something that Cliff Kingsbury is interested in also. Mm-hmm. Like, because he is a player that, while very talented, has to be utilized in a very specific way.
Miles Garrett.
I mean, this is a no-brainer, right? Yeah. If the price is right, even if the price is a little bit steep, I'm definitely kicking the tires on a player like that. I just think about what Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. were able to do when they were in Dallas together with Micah Parsons. And I think Micah Parsons is extremely special, but I don't know. I probably would give the edge in terms of just pure pass rusher to Miles Garrett. So think about that piece, moving around the front, what it would do for the coverage. Now, you got to kind of, again, is the price correct? But I'd be very interested in something like that.
I'm trying to scroll through the names that I had for you. This is a name that just came up. I don't know how familiar you are with him. Jermaine Pratt from Cincinnati at the linebacker spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the linebacker spot, I'm always going to be thinking more about coverage at this point, right?
Yeah.
Coverage sideline to sideline. And again, like to me, Zach Bond, Fred Warner are the prototypes at the position right now. They have this tremendous coverage instinct. The guy from Cincinnati, I always felt was more of a downhill player when I watched him.
Mm-hmm.
But, maybe they see a role and vision for him in the
definitely,
defense.
Definitely downhill.
What they're looking for.
But I say definitely downhill, 6'3", 250. I didn't realize he just requested a trade in real time as we were doing this. That's why I brought him up here real quick. Probably wouldn't be the best fit in terms of what Washington's looking for, but I thought I'd bring him up. Charvarius Ward. From San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in the same way that you can't have enough good defensive linemen, you can't have enough guys who can cover.
Yeah.
And I think he's tall, he's long, he's competitive at the catch point, he does a lot of really, really good things. And again, the pre-existing relationship with Adam Peters, I think, would be huge in terms of him being able to identify whether it was the right fit. But if there's a guy that can cover, and there's a guy that can cover, there's a guy that can pass block, or a guy that can pass rush.
You're
like, I'm in on it, right? Let's kick the tires on that.
I definitely feel you. So let's put it to you like this. If there was one player, free agent-wise, that Washington was going to splash on and give a top-of-the-market contract to, who would it be for you?
You know what's funny is I don't have that up in front of me at the moment.
A couple of names for you. Like Josh Sweat is the one that continues to interest me. I don't think Philly allows him to get out of their building. Nick Bolton is another guy for me. Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Would it be on the defensive side is, I guess, what I would ask you. Would it be more likely that that player is on defense that they spend a lot at?
Yeah, I mean, I actually love Nick Bolton. I think he'd be a great fit here. So I don't know what he's going to draw in terms of free agent contract at the moment. I don't even know what the market would be for a linebacker, but I liked him coming out of Missouri. I liked him at Kansas City. I liked how he covers. Like, he basically matched up in some type of one-on-one situation with Saquon. And again, you're looking for a linebacker that can run, hit, cover. Like, he's got that mold in terms of a guy that could wear the green dot and come in and kind of be a good compliment. If they do bring Bobby back to Bobby and Frankie Luvu, I think that would be tremendous. I'm always a big believer in trying to find big offensive linemen free agents.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is nobody lets them go.
Yeah, it's just hard.
Around the building usually. Yeah. So I know the guard for Kansas City is one that kind of has cropped up on my radar. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you give him top of the market money because of the heart condition, but I'm always a big believer. If there's an offensive lineman you think is top flight and he's for some reason up in free agency, like, you definitely kick the tires on it.
I'll let you go on this, my friend. Of the, I think it's 22 free agents. I thought you said 29 earlier for Washington. One guy that if they have to get away, you'd really be heartbroken.
Man, that is a really good question. Just looking over the list here. I don't know. I really like some of the receivers they got here, like Diami and OZ. I think those guys are special. But the guy that really has a soft spot in my heart is John Bates, man. I think he just does stuff in the run game and as a pass protector, plays with physicality like that is hard to quantify to people that don't watch a lot of football. So if John Bates is not a Commander, I'm going to be a little bit heartbroken about that, I'll tell you.
Logan, I appreciate you giving me some time, my man.
Well, no, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Big thank you to former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson for joining the program. That is going to do it, though.
here for this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media at NELL_BTP. The Infinity Sports Network comes your way next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.